Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Greetings, humans. You have entered the command zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
Where do I start?
Every step I take, every move I make, every single day, every time I pray,
I'll be missing you.
Yeah.
I'll be missing you, Iona, and Paradox Engine.
But I'll be saying hello once again to our old friend, Painter Servant. Wow.
Yes, what's official bands. Oh, sorry.
I was going to say, what's up, us, everybody?
Forget it.
Yeah,
you know who we are.
You know who we
are. There's been new bands and unbands.
This happens rarely, and it's a big deal.
Yeah, so two bands, Iona, Shield of Emeria, and Paradox Engine. I guess it was Paradox Engine good, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Paradox Engine too good.
Paradox Engine defined its own category of being too good, and as a result, got the axe in Commander. So that's what we're going to be talking about today on the show. How's it? How's it? Hello, hello. Just so people always say, if we miss a how's it, it's a big deal.
Oh, how's it?
There you go.
And also, Painter's Servant was unbanned, which means, I mean, I'm guessing, probably the price of it is going to go up because it wasn't playable before, and now it is. So you should go over to cardkingdom.com/commandzone. Right now, you're
going
to want to pick up
Painter's
Servant before it's too late. It might already be too late. Also, there's going to be a bunch of cards we're going to talk about in this episode that go along with Painter's Servant.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you can play it, you're going to want to know what cards combo with it. Or M20, Modern Horizons, Commander 2019 around the corner. You can probably start pre-ordering that soon. So again, cardkingdom.com/commandzone. You're going to order all that stuff anyway. Just use that affiliate link. When you do, you are supporting this show. Game nights, all of our content.
You know, Painter's Servant had this amazing Masterpiece Edition.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks amazing.
I actually have one that we opened.
Oh, really?
Like, in a pack.
And you're
so,
like, oh, darn it.
Yeah. When we opened, I was like, well, that's not playable.
Now it is. And you can play it on playmats. They've done a lot of the Masterpiece playmats over the years, too. And if you're going to do that, you're supporting our other sponsor of the show, Ultra Pro. You can sleeve your cards up. You can keep those Painter's Servants nice and, I guess, waterproof by double sleeving them. Something Josh won't do, but something I will.
That Painter's Servant absolutely has to go in Eclipse sleeve right now because it was worth
it's ready.
It's got to be worth like twice what it was 2 seconds ago.
Yeah, exactly.
So
check it out. Do it to it.
And the final way to support all of our content is directly if you go to patreon.com/commandzone. In fact, we call out one lucky patron every single episode, and this episode is dedicated to Joel Moore. Joel, you rock.
Thank you for having a name that was easy to say.
We got an easy name for once. All right. This is going to be a special sort of mini episode. We are going to have another episode coming out this week. In fact, we're also going to have game nights coming out this week.
Holy crap.
But we felt like we could not, you know, we couldn't not address the bans and unbans. We had to come on and do a special episode for it. So
you know, when the Tuck rule was changed, I rushed home and I left my birthday dinner early so we could record that episode.
I remember.
This is equally important to us right now.
This doesn't happen very often. So,
no.
All right. So main topic right away, new bans, new unbans. Let's talk about the bans first. We have two cards that are no longer legal that were legal as of yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It is Iona, Shield of Emeria. You want to read it?
Yeah. Iona, Shield of Emeria is an angel, legendary creature. 6 white, 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 9 total for a 7/7 with flying. As Iona enters the battlefield, choose a color. Your opponents can't cast spells of the chosen color.
So a kind of feel bad card. I've talked about the story where I was playing my mono green deck. Somebody waited a long time to play against me. Ionid me, and I was like, yep, you win, you got it.
Cool.
And Paradox Engine also got banned. This is a card we mention a lot on the show because of
it's
the
Paradox
saying.
Engine. Paradox Engine.
This was our heuristic for, like, a very powerful card.
Yeah, this before it was Prophet of Kruphix good, yeah. And now Paradox Engine took its place. By the way, all of them involve untapping things.
I'm going to have to start saying, like, Aetherflux Reservoir good or something.
Yeah, oh, geez. You just put it up there and just, like, put the markers on it. Paradox Engine is 5 mana for a legendary artifact. Whenever you cast a spell, untap all non-land permanents you control. So shenanigans ensue. Every time you cast something, everything gets untapped except for lands, but oftentimes that's all you need to just combo off and win the game.
Yeah, it's sort of an infamous combo engine.
Yep.
So Painter Servant also got unbanned. We'll read that and talk about that at the end. Let's talk about the bans first, Jimmy.
Yeah.
What do you think about the bans? Are they good / necessary?
I think they are fine. I personally haven't run into problems with either, but I do understand that Iona is one of the most feel-bad cards in existence because you can also cheat it out. Like, a lot of times if you're like, oh, it's just a 9-mana angel, it takes forever to play, whatever. Grizzlebrand is also 7 mana, but that ability, I think, is too powerful on its face to be legal. And Iona, I was always just like, if it happens, then yeah, sure, they play it for 9. But when people are cheating it out on you and you have a monocolored deck, see ya.
Yeah, I just think those feel... I mean, I'm not high on the bans, and I was part of the discussions for what cards might be getting banned. And I will say for the record here that I was strongly recommended banning nothing.
Right.
So I was against both of these bans. Yeah, I think Iona, I'm not, like, super sad to see either of them go, especially Iona. Like, yeah, there's very few times when that card is played in any other manner where it's just like, right?
Yeah, I don't
How often does somebody play Iona and anybody at the table is like, sweet?
Well, it's only if it's, like, hosing the player that's winning super hard.
Right.
You know? Which,
and the fact that it only hits one color is, like, often meaning that its power is pretty diminished. Like, somebody else can remove it, or half your deck can still remove it. So it really... I don't know. It just was. I didn't think it was a boogeyman in the format.
I don't think it's a boogeyman. I also, like you said, I don't think many people are going to necessarily miss it. And I don't think that there are no decks that are, I don't think, really built around Iona. Like, if unless it's one of your finishers, then sure. Or like an option for you to grab out of your control deck. But, you know, I don't think it diminishes the power of any of those decks, which is a good thing. And it doesn't hose any specific type of strategies entirely by getting rid of it.
I mean, I have Iona in exactly 0 of my 25 decks.
Yeah, me too. I had my Kali deck for one point, and I was like, nah, that's not the kind of person I'm going to be. And I just took it out.
And I think, you know, if you look on EDH Rec, it's not in very many decks. And I think it's because people learn really quickly. If you think it might be fun and then you play it, you learn, oh, that's not that fun. And then you either want to be not fun, which there's plenty of opportunity to do in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
Or you want to be fun and you take it out. And I think we see that reflected in the numbers, which is like just a lot of people don't use it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Paradox Engine.
Yeah. This one definitely changes the structure of some decks, I think.
Yeah.
I think a lot of decks, there are plenty of decks out there, maybe not a lot, that want to get this card out and then win from that.
I mean, this card is just strictly very, very powerful, why we call things Paradox Engine good.
Yeah.
I think it's the tip-top of the power scale in Commander. It's equivalent to many things, but it's definitely up there. Whereas Iona, from a power level standpoint, not that powerful, right? Like, it's a feel-bad card, but it's not powerful.
It's like they were banned for different reasons almost.
Yeah.
I'm assuming, right? Because Paradox Engine,
I don't think
just...
you could make the comparison that one is equivalent to the other as power level. Paradox Engine is way above Iona as far as just
and
raw
Iona
power.
Does not stop you from casting Paradox Engine, by the way.
That's a good point. That's a good point. She doesn't save you
to do
at
with
all.
This, but yeah.
Paradox Engine, again, do you even have Paradox Engine in a deck?
Nope.
I have 25 decks. I have it in one deck.
I did the same thing. I played it in one deck and I was like,
Yep.
Yeah. I got it. It was almost for me like, this is too easy.
Yeah. I have it in one deck. It's one of my, it's my Derevi deck, which I'd say is like a 9 on the power scale. I have 3 decks that are like end of the night. We've talked about this competitive level. Let's play our most powerful decks.
Yeah.
That's the only Paradox Engine I own, and it's the only deck it's in. So no personal stake in this. Like, I don't really care from a personal standpoint about either card getting banned. Like, it doesn't hurt my decks, and I basically don't have to change my decks at all. But I just don't know. I don't know that the case can be made that Paradox Engine is that much more powerful than a lot of other cards that are already legal in the format. I mean, CDH people can maybe tell us. They ask me to ban Flash all the time. They don't ask me to ban Paradox Engine all the time.
Because it's a 5 mana cost artifact, which is just much different.
That doesn't do anything. You have to set it up.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of cards that you have to set up to do stuff. It is hard to use Paradox Engine in a manner that's like not
broken
though.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, they said the same thing about Hermit Druid, or at least I said the same thing about Hermit Druid.
So later this week, maybe tomorrow or maybe after game nights, we're still undecided. The Commander Summit Part 2 is going to come out. And in that episode, we have a section where we talk about bans and unbans. So we ask all the content creators, the rules committee people, the members of the CAG, what cards they would want banned and unbanned. So I thought it would be interesting to look into these two cards specifically, Iona and Paradox Engine, and see like what they thought about them. So there was about 18 people that responded to that question. If you'll remember,
we had
35
yeah, 36
people that we asked stuff, but they didn't all have to answer all the questions. They could just
choose the ones that they had good answers for or wanted to answer.
Right. So 18 people responded on bans and unbans, and two of them mentioned Paradox Engine.
Okay.
Which I don't think is equivalent to 2 out of 18, because many people said multiple cards, like 3 or 4 cards that would want banned, or
and
two
Paradox
or three.
Engine was just one of the.
So yeah, maybe it's 2 out of 36 or whatever. I don't know that exact number. Mm-hmm. And then 3 of the 18 said Iona. So Iona was a little bit more popular. Neither, I will say, without giving away what they were, neither of those cards were
at the top.
The top couple of cards were not the cards mentioned. Or sorry, not Iona or Paradox Engine.
They were, I would say, significantly lower cost in mana.
And you can, of course, watch that episode to find out what those two cards were. But that tells me maybe the rules committee is using different criteria than like...
I think Iona makes sense to me. It's, I think, creating a better play environment and less feel bads. Paradox Engine, I'm not entirely sure about because, look, there are 2-card infinite combos all over EDH. Paradox Engine requires usually you to take the longest turn in the whole game and do stuff over and over again instead of just being like, I win. So I don't know. The Paradox Engine ban still feels a little off to me. But,
I mean, yeah.
I won't miss it, I guess.
I won't miss it. I have no personal stake. I don't think that... I don't like that ban specifically. Iona is like, whatever. Not a lot of people were playing it. I still don't... It's been around for a decade and nothing really changed, so it is weird to me to ban it, but... Fine. I don't think there's a lot of people like, I love Iona. It's the best card ever. Paradox Engine, on the other hand, can do some cool things, but it can be really broken pretty easily. You know, one of the big things I brought up when we were arguing this with the rules committee and the CAG was...
You mean civilly debating?
Civilly debating.
There we go.
Was, you know, there's a thing that I think is... It's bad for players when you ban a card when it's... not worth it, even though it's like, yeah, not a lot of people are maybe going to cry. But like, think of just the dollar value lost.
Right.
Like, they make an announcement this morning and a $35 card goes down to $5. Paradox Engine is not going to be worth anything because it's not played in Modern Legacy, anything else. Its value is only because of Commander. And there's tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of players that have that card. And so we're talking about millions of dollars, literally just evaporated from the universe in that moment and for that decision.
Like that?
Yeah.
The snap?
Now, I'm not saying that's the primary thing that you worry about when you're running a format, but it should be, the juice has to be worth the squeeze, right? Yeah. And to me, I'm not feeling like everybody out there that had a Paradox Engine that suddenly it's worth nothing. I'm sorry. I had nothing to do with that.
I'm curious to see what the reaction will be because there might be, I mean, they're going to have two parts of it, right? You're going to have people that are angry that they lost value in the card, and they're going to have people that are angry they lost value in the card in their deck, and they're going to have people that are happy that they don't have to play against it anymore. Yep. So I'm wondering, what are those numbers looking like? And we'll find out as the internet discusses this, I'm sure, in depth over the next couple of weeks.
I mean, it's an extremely powerful card, and I will personally be happy to not see it across the table anymore, but there's...
But what did it need to get banned is the question.
Yeah, but Aetherflux Reservoir, Bolas's Citadel, I mean, we can go down the list. There's a ton of cards, I think, that fit into a similar power level, and, you know, I don't think we should ban all those. So
what do you think about the ban list currently?
The ban list.
It's a mess?
It's like, if you look at the ban list, like, let's be honest. I'm sorry, all the rules committee people, but it is a... seemingly random.
There are a lot of things on there I'm just like, huh, okay.
I mean, honestly, like, Iona, feel bad card. Winter Orb, Static Orb, feel bad cards. Like, tell me the difference between those two things exactly. Those other cards come out way earlier and are way more annoying, honestly, than Iona.
And they affect everyone, and yeah.
And they always do their thing. Iona sometimes only affects one player at the table or half of that player's deck. Like, that is just a weird ban to me. Paradox Engine, very, very powerful. But look at the list of cards. Like, there's a ton that are legal, I mean. There's a ton of cards I would put on equivalent level to Paradox Engine. It's just like, I don't know. Like, I'm not saying Paradox Engine is not very powerful. It's just, I don't know. The ban list just seems kind of random to me.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, playing League of Legends, you know how you ban champions before every single round? When you do that, it's like, I don't want to play against this because it's a feel bad or whatever. It counters the thing I want to do. you can't just like willy-nilly ban new things all the time. So I don't like the pattern of being like, maybe we're just doing it to see what happens, or like we think this could improve the format. Because like you said, there's a lot of money just whoosh, in the moment that Paradox
there's
Engine gets
banned. There's real cost. Yeah, to real people cost. Out there. Like, millions of dollars just evaporated from the universe.
I can think of a few cards that I own that I paid money for that, if they were banned, I would feel bad.
Yeah. Luckily for us, Paradox Engine and Iona are not among them, because we didn't play them. But, yeah. Yeah.
And if you want to hear about the cards that other people think should be banned, make sure you tune into the Commander Summit. Part 1 is already online. Part 2 coming later this week.
So, I wanted to talk a little bit here about the Commander Advisory Group, because this is the kind of the first moment when they had... We had
collective discussions.
A sway over it, right?
Yeah,
where we were involved in a major decision. Like, we've worked on some philosophy documents and stuff before, but this is the first one where there was a lot of CAG involvement. In the last 5 years, I went and looked this up.
Yeah,
there's been 2 cards banned: Prophet of Kruphix and Leovold, and 3 cards unbanned: Metalworker, Kokusho, and Protean Hulk. Now, 2 of those were unbanned as sort of a retooling of a rule with... They got rid of banned as commander.
Right.
And so that made Metalworker and Kokusho kind of freed up.
Yeah.
I think that's what happened then. Anyway, and
still... Kokusho, definitely.
Kokusho, yeah.
Yeah.
I think Metalworker just came off at the same time or around the same time.
I love that card.
A little over 5 years ago, Sylvan Primordial was banned. So if you go back 6 years, I think...
3 cards have been banned.
It's 3 and 3.
Yeah.
So this is not something that happens very often, right? Yeah, we're looking at about a half a card a year banned. We just had 2 banned
it's
and
like an
one
set.
Yeah, we just had 2 banned and 1 unbanned in the space of however long.
Yeah,
Time will tell. Like, if they do this again and then in 6 months, then I think we're in trouble and the kegs may be influencing the rules committee in the wrong direction, because I definitely don't think this kind of a high rate of banning and unbanning is good.
It's not... the thing it creates is... It's the same with, like, a stock market. The moment you're like, uh-oh, things aren't what they're normally... Things are... People are mass selling this or doing that because something else big happened, then you have instability.
Yeah, and stability. That's a good word.
You really don't want to have that in the format, especially when it's at a great place right now.
So we'll see how the Commander Advisory Group continues to influence the Rules Committee and if it's in a good way or a bad way. I would say, from the inside, from my perspective, the jury's still out. We'll see. It can't be bad, right? Like, a lot of cooks trying to mess with something could make something worse, not better.
Right. And then you also look inside R&D, who created a play group because Standard was getting too crazy and they had to ban too many cards. So they brought in pros to test the format out. So maybe that's more in the line with the idea that it could be fine to have more voices in the room.
Right.
Who knows?
Just depends on how it goes. Yep. Okay. So let's talk. We're going to move into the unbans here, but before we do, I wanted to talk about an idea, which is the banning of Iona and the unbanning of Painter's Servant related? Because
they certainly play very well into each other.
Painter's Servant is a card that, well, I mean, we should probably just read the card, I suppose.
Painter's Servant is a 2-mana artifact creature, Scarecrow.
Reaper King.
For the Reaper King decks. It's a 1/3. As Painter's Servant enters the battlefield, choose a color. All cards that aren't on the battlefield and spells and permanents are the chosen color in addition to their other colors. So basically, this assigns a color of your choice to pretty much every single card.
Yeah, it's all cards that aren't on the battlefield, plus permanents. That means cards on the battlefield.
Including your lands.
And spells, so anything you cast.
They're
all including your lands.
A new color, whatever you choose it to be.
Yeah, you're saying red, and then everything's red, in addition to what else it is, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so Iona...
Color hoses one color.
So if you say... Cast Iona saying red, and then cast Painter's Servant saying red, nobody can cast spells anymore. And that makes it very hard to break up that combo because you can't cast spells.
Yep, the entire game is locked down unless you're casting... Oh, no, you can't even cast colorless spells because they now have color associated with them.
Yep. So that basically wins. This is a reason that maybe the two are coming in and out at the same time. Maybe they decided, if Iona's gone, then Painter's Servant's fine now. Which is a weird...
Yeah.
That logic, I don't get it all.
I also think you never want to be in the position where it's like, this one's out, and because of that, this one's in.
It's just weird, because really, was Painter's Servant banned because of one card that wasn't seeing very much play? That doesn't seem like that makes any sense to me. I wanted to say that that makes no sense also, because there are similar combos that are legal right now, and neither side is banned, and Karn, Mycosynth Lattice is one.
Mm-hmm.
Teferi, either Teferi. There's 2 different Teferis you can use now.
Both work with this.
Plus Knowledge Pool is another one. Basically does the exact same thing, which is players can't cast stuff or do things anymore.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk more about the Painter's Servant Unbanned in just a second, but we're going to take a quick break and hear a message from our sponsors.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey, I'm Nolan Sykes, a host of Past Gas, the number one automotive podcast in the world. Every week, my co-hosts, James Pumphrey, Joe Weber, and I bring you some of our favorite stories from the hallowed halls of car history. From the amazing to the weird to the utterly unforgettable moments, we cover it all. Join us as we take a look at the wild stories and larger-than-life characters behind legendary cars and car makers. So if you love cars or just like a good story, check out Past Gas by Donut Media, the number one automotive podcast in the world.
All right, and we are back talking about the new bans and unbans that have hit Commander today. Big news, again, Iona is now banned, as is Paradox Engine, and Painter Servant, a long-talked-about card in Magic the Gathering, is now unbanned. So let us enter into this discussion. I am very excited about this in general, because I never thought Painter Servant was something that was inherently broken.
Yeah, I'm super excited, and it's a really unique type of a card.
It's a bizarro card. Nothing in Magic does anything similar to this, to the degree it does it.
And I think it's a good unbanning, regardless of Iona in or out of the format. I think it could have been unbanned for a while now. We have similar cards that are already legal. Mycosynth Lattice turns everything into an artifact. Enchanted Evening turns everything into an enchantment. This is a similar type of effect. Both of those cards have some broken things you can do with it that are oppressive.
Mm-hmm.
And they're fine, right? We don't think any of them should be banned. And I think Painter's Servant kind of falls under the same umbrella.
Yeah, I think Painter's Servant isn't a spike card necessarily. I think it's more of a Johnny card. And I can see that's why it's combo-tastic. The things you can do with it are, there are still broken things you can do with it, but it's not, again, like we were talking about earlier, it's nothing that makes me go, oh, we shouldn't have that happen. It's just like, okay, sure, but you could also do X, Y, and Z that are pretty much the same power level of brokenness.
Yeah, I think there's a tendency when we see a card, especially if it's coming off the ban list, to be like, it can do X, Y, and Z, and that's why it's broken. But like, so many cards have an X, Y, and a Z, right?
Yeah.
Kiki Jiki has a huge X, Y, and a Z.
Favorite boy.
Yeah, nobody's saying ban Kiki Jiki. There's so many cards. So Painter's Servant, I like this as an unban. I think it's going to open up a lot of fun things. Now, there are definitely some oppressive things you can do as well. This first one is kind of the classic combo that everybody talks about with Painter's Servant.
Yep, and that's Grindstone. So it's a one mana artifact that you can pay three and tap it, and target player puts the top two cards of his or her library into their graveyard, and if both cards share a color, repeat this process. Well, what does Painter's Servant do?
But it changes all of their cards, to...
So it looks like you're going to just mill them out.
This immediately KOs somebody.
Yeah.
You activate it, and if they don't have a stifle or something at that point,
right. They
mill, triggers. There's no, even their lands turn into the color that you chose with Painter's Servant.
It's so just like, hello.
It just immediately mills them out. But it only KOs one player. So as combos go.
Well, it's a 2, 3, 4, 5. It's a 6 mana infinite combo ish thing, right?
If you can combo, do it early because Grindstone on one,
Painter's Servant on two.
Ramp, Painter's Servant, and then activate Grindstone. But that, again, KOs only one player. The other two players are, it doesn't win you the game in the way a lot of combos kill everybody.
Kill everyone, yeah.
Yeah.
It does, I mean, I will say if this does happen, it's going to feel bad because they'll have to draw both. Well, they'll have to get both pieces in their opening hand, and sure, like getting KO'd on turn four is bad, but CEDH also does that.
Right. You can do that already with a lot of things if you want to, but It is a powerful combo.
This is a very, very powerful combo.
I don't think it's as powerful as a lot of stuff that's already going on that basically wins the game. This is KO one player.
And think about it this way. How many decks are going to play Painter Servant and Grindstone for the off chance they can draw it into their hand and have no other mill strategy? Like, do you want to really do that?
It's actually a really good point because neither
are you a mill deck?
Neither is in your command zone. You have to find them both. So there are two cards that synergize with each other, but did they synergize with the rest of your deck?
Yeah.
That's something I think we're going to run into repeatedly with Painter Servant, which was we're going to mention a bunch of stuff you can do with it. But the thing is, do you want that stuff in your deck along with whatever else your deck is doing?
Yeah.
Because it's hard to build a Painter Servant deck. I mean, not impossible, but it's not your commander. So it can be dealt with permanently. What if it gets exiled? Does your deck just turn off?
I don't know.
Anyway, so...
I hope you don't build a deck like that, by the way. Doesn't seem like a lot of fun.
I think there's still fun ways to have Painter Servant in your deck and have it have available synergies without just totally committing to it.
Yeah.
This next card, though, is a lot like Grindstone.
Yep. It's Sphinx's Tutelage, which is a really fun card in Limited. 2 in the blue for an enchantment. Whenever you draw a card, target opponent puts the top 2 cards of their library into their graveyard. If they're both non-land cards that share a color, repeat this process. So very similar to Grindstone, but if they're not, if you draw a land off of this, then it doesn't repeat itself.
You have to basically rip 2 lands, and then it'll stop it.
Yeah.
But the way to get it going again is just draw a card.
Cards,
Yeah, so it's not that difficult to KO somebody with this. They're going to probably rip 2 lands a couple of times throughout, so you're just going to have a way or two to draw cards in there.
Push through that, yeah. And the Sphinx's Tutelage does give it to you. It's a 6-mana effect on it, 5 in the blue, to draw a card, then discard a card. So you'll trigger the ability again.
Yeah. Again, KO's one player.
Yep. It's also just so janky.
It's super jank.
This next one is one that I'm very excited about. It's Pyroblast, and there are a lot of similar effects that we'll talk about later, but this is an instant, which is why I like it. It's a red for one red for an instant. You can choose one, counter target spell if it's blue, destroy target permanent if it's blue. So you play Painter Servant, you name blue, and now all of a sudden red has a counter spell that can counter literally every card in the game.
Yep.
Except for lands.
Oh, and destroy everything.
And destroy every permanent in the game, yeah. And so this is actually something that I could totally see playing in a mono red deck. Because you are trying to find artifacts. And
you kind of already have Pyroblast in there. It's already a good card.
Yeah.
I don't think Hydroblast is as good because there's less red decks, but you're rarely in a pod with no blue decks.
Yeah.
So even if you just draw this and you don't have Painter Servant, Pyroblast is still good. Red Elemental Blast, another one.
Yeah, you just have to ask yourself if there are other ways. I would say in your deck, you want at least 2 to 3 maybe other ways that Painter Servant does something really positive for you. Otherwise, it's just a really poopy scarecrow.
The next one is, I think, more likely for Painter Servant to find a home in decks like this.
Yeah.
Because this is a commander. So Una, Queen of the Fae. We know that Craig has a good Una deck. I've lost to a few times.
He does.
Yeah. Una is 3 and then 3 hybrid Dimir. So 6 mana total for a 5/5 flyer. Legendary creature. So can be your commander. You pay X and then a hybrid Dimir. And then choose a color. Target opponent exiles the top X cards of his or her library. For each card of the chosen color exiled this way, put a 1/1 blue and black fairy rogue creature token with flying onto the battlefield. So this guarantees that for whatever you spend for X, you're going to get that many fairies.
Now, I think this is actually, one, totally fair.
Yep, totally fair.
Like, it requires you to pay X and a color, so you're going to be paying a ton of mana to make a bunch of 1/1s. It's a very powerful effect. But Una is already a powerful commander. There's many, many ways to get infinite mana in this deck, and once you do, then Painter Servant doesn't even matter. You just mill someone out immediately.
I mean, honestly, in the Una deck, is Painter Servant better than Doubling Cube?
No, I don't think so.
Because a lot of times you're trying to mill people also.
I think the Una deck, usually the win condition is like, sure, the 1/1s might kill someone in the air, but ultimately you're trying to mill them for a billion.
Yeah. But
not just mill every single person.
You're probably still putting Painter Servant in just because it is good value and it comes out before she does and it guarantees that you do. Because sometimes, you're like, I really need to get 3 1/1s just so I could block or something.
And blue is very, very good at finding artifacts out of your deck as well.
True.
Yeah, so the next sort of interaction that Painter Servant works really well with is the Conspire mechanic, and when something has Conspire, you can tap 2 untapped creatures you control that share a color with the spell, and when you do, you can copy it. You can choose new targets for the copy. So I cast Lightning Bolt, I tap 2 goblins, because if I cast a Lightning Bolt with Conspire, which would be bizarre, you tap 2 red goblins, and then you can copy the spell with Painter Servant. Every card can copy everything. You can tap any creature for that color because it's guaranteed going to be red.
And Painter Servant's that color also.
Yeah, they share a color with it, and they're all going to be that same color. Red, blue, whatever.
Yeah, so maybe some Conspire cards become playable that weren't. That's a long shot, but possible.
I hope so.
The next one's kind of a fun one.
Chameleon Spirit.
This is super fair.
Yeah, this is beyond fair. This is like Bro, what is happening?
I mean,
three in the blue for one of them star stars. As it comes into the battlefield, choose a color, and its power and toughness are each equal to the number of permanents of the chosen color your opponents control. So this thing comes in and it's massive.
I mean, it's, yeah.
Because it's
remember,
all their
it
lands.
Counts their lands, yeah.
And now they're all of a sudden they're all red or whatever. So Chameleon Spirit, you know, arguably, it could probably be like a 30-30 for four
mana. 30-30. I mean, that's probably playable, but definitely not broken.
Yeah, and you can just also bounce it, flick, you know, do a billion different things to it to get rid of it. But that is very funny.
This is a cool one. We've talked about this card before. It's Glory, three white whites for a flying 3/3. You can pay two and a white, though, and it says creatures you control gain protection from the color of your choice until end of turn, but you can only play this ability if Glory's in your graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
So you activate, once Glory dies or goes to your graveyard, you basically have two and a white, give all your creatures protection from everything
yeah.
that's out there because it'll be of whatever color you chose with Painter Servant.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, speaking of protection, we have all of the protection circles, Circle of Protection, white through Wooburg.
Yep.
It's one and the color of it, the color usually. And you just basically pay a mana and it says the next time a white source, blue, black, red, green, whatever, of your choice would deal damage to you, this turn prevent that damage. And Story Circle is a very similar effect, but it's only in white. And it's one white for an enchantment. As Story Circle comes into play, choose a color, and you can pay white to basically do the same thing with the Circle Protection. Next time, a source of your choice of the chosen color would deal damage this turn, prevent that damage. So you can basically prevent damage from everything for a white, including like burn
any
spells,
one thing for a white.
Yeah, that's source.
Because Painter Servant changes all their stuff to red or whatever you chose.
Yeah, Story Circle's pretty funny with it.
There's that Cycle of Dragons and Krosis, Rith, there's a whole bunch of them. Let's read Krosis, because I think it's probably the meanest one.
Yeah, Krosis is three in Grixis, so three blue, black, red for a 6/6 flying legendary creature dragon. Whenever Krosis deals combat damage to a player, you may pay two in the black. If you do, choose a color, and then that player reveals his or her hand and discards all cards of that color.
So two in a black, you discard your hand, Nicol Bolas, original you.
Yeah, again, very fair. This is a 6-mana 6/6 flyer that needs to hit and then pay 3 additional mana on top of it to activate an effect. If that happens, I don't know. You had it coming. Nicol Bolas can also just make you discard your entire hand, so.
There's Rith that, like, makes 1/1s. There's a whole bunch. There's a cycle of these that basically, like, you choose a color and something happens. None of those cards are good now, and I don't think they get a lot better with Painter Servant.
Yeah, they get, you know, they're better.
This one's a little mean.
Yeah, I would say all of these effects that we're about to talk about are definitely on what would people would consider the meaner side. So Yawan, I have no idea how to say this name, the Cephalid Empress, three in the blue for a 2/3. When this creature enters the battlefield, return all blue creatures your opponents control to their owner's hands, and your opponents can't play blue creature spells. So Painter Servant actually hoses their hand and does a full-on bounce of their entire board.
If we were worried about Iona and Painter Servant, this is way worse than Iona because it's 4 mana,
and
right?
And it way faster.
Bounces it. So like with Iona, I play it. Whatever they already have out is still good.
And then it becomes whose board state it's going to win.
And it becomes they can't cast anything further. But if they already had an advanced board state, then they can maybe say, well, I don't have Iona removal, but I have player removal.
Yeah.
This bounces all their blue creatures to their hands, but all their creatures are blue. So it bounces all creatures, then says you can't cast blue creature spells.
Whoops.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't turn off removal and stuff like Iona does, so maybe
but that's still a huge setback.
And the also, fact that it's 4 mana.
Yeah, and it's all blue creatures, and it's only your opponent's control, so it has that Cyclonic Rift effect. Yeesh.
Yeah, this is really good with Painter Servant. I don't know if you can play it in a deck, though, because are you going to play a card that only synergizes with one card in your deck, and otherwise you don't want to play it? Because you're in blue if you play it. Yeah.
Unless Lawan is your commander, and your entire thing is like...
Oh, it's legendary. I didn't even notice that.
It's got that cool name.
Here's a card that I heard Gavin Verhey talk about on, like, I think it was on Brainstorm Brewery or something. Uh-huh. And it's really good already, but it just got way better.
Well, absurdly amounts better with Painter Servant.
Yeah.
It's Reap, a card I've literally never heard of. It's one in the green for an instant to return any number of target cards from your graveyard to your hand, but you cannot choose more cards than the number of black permanents target opponent controls. So, usually if there's one black player there for one in the green, maybe you'll return 4-3 cards from your graveyard to your
hand. Which is sweet at instant speed.
Yeah, really
good.
Why
am I playing Regrowth in any of my decks? I should be playing Reap.
Reap, yeah.
Because you're always going to get one.
Probably. I mean, if someone's not playing a black permanent, you are, who knows? That's crazy. But in this case, now you're bringing back up to, you know, 10, 11.
You're getting all of
land,
them, right?
All the cards, yeah. For
yeah,
two mana.
It counts lands. So, if you're on turn 5, that's going to be like 15 cards from your graveyard to your hand.
Pretty insane.
Yeah, that card's sweet.
Yeah. These next two cards are very, very similar to Lawan in the effect they do. It's Washout and Hibernation. Basically does the same thing. normally you choose with Washout, you choose a color and you return all permanents of the color of your choice to their owner's hand. So
all permanents,
yourself.
Not just opponents, yeah.
But normally it's not super abusive because lands don't have colors. Now they do because of Painter Servant.
And also you choose a color, so you're bouncing like half of two opponents' boards or something.
Yeah, but with Painter Servant now it's everything. And Hibernation returns all green permanents to their owner's hands. But again, you name green and then boom, everything bounces up to your hand. So it's basically Upheaval.
Yeah, if you Painter Servant this, it's Upheaval. Upheaval is a banned card.
Very much banned card.
If you're
and these
wondering
are cheaper too.
How you take advantage of the fact that all your everybody's everything got bounced, including your own, what you do is you float mana beforehand. So you have a bunch of mana rocks. You have a bunch of lands. You have Painter Servant out. You've named green. You cast Hibernation. What with that trigger on the stack, you float all the mana from all your stuff. So everything gets bounced back to your hand, but you have eight mana in your mana pool, and you go, you know, Signet, Soul Ring.
Play it all out.
Yeah. Grim Monolith. And then now I can cast spells, and I play my one land for turn.
Yeah.
And now you're all can't cast spells because you can't float mana on my turn and or use the
spells,
mana because it's all sorcery sweet stuff.
Unless you have a Dalkin Orrery.
Yeah. Well, no, because it would get bounced to your hands.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, that's why Upheaval is kind of quote-unquote broken and banned in the format.
Yeah, because the person that casts it usually is taking so much advantage of it, they're far, far ahead of the other players.
But I think a two-card combo that creates an Upheaval is like... totally fine.
Yeah. I mean, look, we can make our own profit with Crucifix, right?
Yep, exactly. Better.
Yeah. Next card is Ugin the Spirit Dragon, and specifically his minus X ability, which says exile each permanent with converted mana cost X or less that's one or more colors. So with Painter Servant out, for at minus X zero, you can get rid of every single land. You can exile every land on the
battlefield. It'll get yours, too.
Yeah, it'll get yours as well. And actually, back in 2009, I think, maybe, yeah. No, not 2009, but when Ugin came out,
oh, right.
Yeah, because that was not 2009, right?
Fate Reforged, that was 2015. I want to say 15.
Sure. They're basically were saying, this is why Painter Servant's not coming off the ban list.
Right, you have a quote from Sheldon here, actually,
right? Yeah, I think it's... I've said before that Ugin the Spirit Dragon probably provided the final nail in the coffin, making sure that Painter Servant never comes off the ban list. I have no reason to move off that stance. Now, that was a long time ago. I think the main reason that you can take it off now is that you could play Armageddon for three mana.
I mean, you could
mana.
Back when he said that, too.
Yeah, exactly.
You play Yuckle Hops.
Yeah, so Ugin plus Painter Servant is like, yeah, it doesn't seem that broken.
Yeah, it's fine. Like, hey, A.
Sure, feel bad.
Maybe don't do that. You
but
know,
don't do it. Yeah.
Don't play Armageddon. But, you know, if you're in that kind of play group and that's totally fine with everybody blowing up lands, then play Armageddon. You don't need to jump through so many hoops to do this thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of different things. I mean, that's kind of what some Planeswalker decks use as their win condition, which is just Armageddon plus Ugin.
My favorite is Jolrael and just hold that activation hostage. If you cast a board wipe, I'm going to turn all your lands into creatures, so you'll lose all your lands. And that kind of just
Jolrael's
says...
so funny.
Yeah, that's a similar type of a thing, I would say.
Yeah.
You can also just actually cast a board wipe and turn all their lands into into creatures and Armageddon one player. The next one is again, a mean one. It's Mana Maze. It's blue... Sorry, one in a blue for an enchantment. Players can't cast spells that share a color with the spell most recently cast this turn.
Such weird wording on these old cards.
Yeah, so it kind of does the thing where everybody can only cast one spell, but it's in blue.
Yeah.
I mean, there's already white and green cards that say, like, you can only cast one spell per turn, or white cards, I think, and there's green
ones. There's plenty of them that do that.
Yeah, so, eh.
Eh. But Painter Servant just makes it slightly more possible. And finally, we have a lot of color hoser cards. So
there's tons of color hoser cards.
Ways for weird like colors to counterspell things. So Life Force in green. It's green-green for an enchantment. And you can pay green-green to counter a target black spell. So now you can do it for every spell of Painter Servant. And then black has Death Grip, which is black-black to counter target green spell. You know, it's like these things exist. And now Painter Servant, in the same way that Pyroblast is made better because of it, so are these.
So all those cards with Painter Servant could be playable. And that's, I think, the question. Are most of these cards realistic? Like, are you putting combo cards in your deck that require another card that's in your deck, not in your command zone?
Yeah.
You have to have Painter Servant out for a lot of these cards to work.
In the way that you want them to, yeah.
Yeah, so are you like, I'm going to put Story Circle in my deck and hope I get Painter Servant? Like, is that worth it?
No, because I think what it does is it creates a one-way combo, which is like you need Painter Servant to make this good instead of this is a deck that's all about stacks. So yeah, I do want to play the card that doesn't let players cast more than one spell a turn. So when Painter Servants come out, that's great. It makes this card better.
Right.
But if it only goes one way, it's like this Painter Servant is only here for this card, then you're going too deep literally two cards deep that you don't want to.
Yeah, I agree. I think mostly you want the Painter's Servant to synergize with the rest of your deck.
Yeah.
You don't want your deck to synergize with the Painter's Servant. Exactly.
And then so, if that thing gets exiled, then what was the point of your deck?
Well, I definitely don't want Painter's Servant gets exiled, and now three or four or five cards in my deck are like
garbage.
Duds. Yeah. They don't do anything. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do think in the decks like the Krosis deck, the Una deck, mm-hmm. legendary creatures that synergize with Painter's Servant, then that's a lot more useful because you always know you have that one synergy available to you.
Yeah, totally.
And probably if you're in the type of combo-y play group and you're going to play Grindstone and Sphinx's Tutelage, because those are so powerful, like Grindstone kind of knocks out a player immediately, that might be strong enough to just score, kind of run that two-card thing, especially like you said in blue or something,
tutoring it up anyway,
where you're
going
to be able to find the other piece if you get one. You know, so if I draw one, I can find the other and X, Y, Z, yeah.
How powerful do you think this is going to be?
Not that powerful. Like,
do you think you're going to see it often? Because I don't really think I am. I think I'm going to see it maybe once, you know, across maybe like, say, like 10 games. And when it happens, I'm going to be like, cool, awesome. That was great. That's neat. I'm glad you could do that. If they were trying to grindstone someone with it, I'd be like, all right, fine. But you could have probably found a way to infinitely mill me any number of ways.
Yeah. I mean, now here's a question. Because the last unbanned card was Protean Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is way more impactful, way more powerful of a card than Painter's Servant. And I doubt we'll see the impact on the format that Protean Hulk's had. And Protean Hulk in casual circles hasn't had a huge impact.
Yeah.
In competitive, it kind of has because of Flash and some combo-y stuff. I don't think Painter's Servant will have that kind of effect on the really powerful decks at all.
Yeah. Protean Hulk just gives you a win sometimes if you manage to kill it or have it be sacrificed.
I mean, it can win on turn zero with Flash.
Yeah, yeah.
Where I don't think there's anything like that, even close to that, available with Painter's Servant.
Yeah, Painter's Servant, again, I think it's for Johnnies. I think it's for people that want to try interesting combos out. And, of course, like almost every other card that's powerful in the format, there is a way to break it and be mean with it. But that kind of seems like the rules committee is almost putting the trust into the players' hands and being like, we know you're not going to go down this road because no one's been like Armageddon crazy in the first place. So how many people are going to try to run the Ugin Painter's Servant combo?
Yep, although they did just ban Iona, which clearly they think that's a... You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, maybe the thing they don't like is having players play a game of Magic and have to do this. Because that's kind of what Iona does, and that's kind of what Paradox Engine go off turn does.
Right.
Because everyone just has to sit there and be like, okay, we're not playing anymore. So maybe that's in the line. I don't know.
I mean, Dramatic Reversal, Isochron Scepter, there's Seedborn Muse, there's all kinds of things.
All right,
Bolas of Citadel and, you know, whatever. Like, there's a million things to do that.
Yeah, it's true.
But I do think, you know, in their defense, one thing I'll say about Iona is it's difficult to play Iona in a fashion that is not oppressive, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can't play it and just not choose a color. So it's going to, it's what it does inherently.
It's going to hurt.
Is going to be feel bads for a player. Now, Painter's Servant, there's a bunch of ways to play it where it's just you're doing cool synergy stuff and it's not
crazy,
like, exactly hosing anybody. Like, it's doing powerful things, but it's...
Yeah.
So maybe that's what they're thinking.
I think the most powerful thing is just the upheaval that you can do with Washout and Hibernation.
Yeah. But again, a two-card combo that gets you your upheaval is not that, like...
I would rather play a two-card combo that wins me the game. Yeah.
If you want to pick up, you know, maybe you want to build a Nuna deck now, maybe not the worst idea,
yeah,
or Krosis, or if you want to get a Grindstone or some Sphinx's Tutelage, or a Painter's Servant itself, just go to cardkingdom.com/commandzone. Use that affiliate link when you buy all your Magic products, singles, you can order your M20, Modern Horizons, maybe pre-order Commander 2019 fairly soon. You're going to get that stuff anyway, just use that affiliate link when you do, and you are supporting this podcast. Game Night's all of our content.
That's right. Game Night's coming out later this week, by the way. Get stoked about that. And also, I want to know if you guys find any cards that we didn't talk about. Ultra Pro, also the sponsor of this show. If you're on cardkingdom.com/commandzone, you can buy Ultra Pro product that way. You can get sleeves, whatever, all that stuff is usually on their store in different areas here and there. And now the M20 is out, we have these awesome new playmats.
I got the Kalia one.
Dude, the Kalia one looks amazing.
Was it Sephara?
Sephara.
Not Sephora.
Sephora.
I was just about to say that.
There's like an angel over here trying to get you to try on something.
Oh, we skipped to the listeners. We're going to skip the end step on purpose because this is a mini episode. But to the listeners.
This one should be obvious.
What do you think of the bans?
Yeah.
What do you think of the unban?
Unfair?
What do you like them? Do you not about? Like them?
I don't know. Do I like them? Jury's still out.
Please tell us if Jimmy likes them in the comments and on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Help me formulate my opinion. We're going to group think this one out. Yeah. Leave us a comment, tweet at us, do all that good stuff, or join us on our Patreon or our Discord, where we will 100% be discussing this very, very much in depth.
Oh, I can imagine our Discord's going to be all about this for a couple of days. Yeah, for sure. Make sure you check out our sister podcast, The Masters of Modern, Alex Kessler and Ben Bateman. They talk about the modern format and all things competitive magic. You can find them on YouTube. Is probably the best place. Just type Masters of Modern into the search bar. They're also on Stitcher, iTunes, on collected.company, just right next to us. And you can find them on Twitter at the MMcast.
And of course, our editors for the show are Ashlyn Rose and me, probably, because we had to put out an extra episode this week. And Josh is absolutely swamped with game nights. We have three pieces of content dropping in a single week. This feels like August when we were like going nuts for Commander product
and
all the time.
What's next month, Jimmy?
It's August.
So there's no end in sight. Yeah. We'll get some sleep eventually.
Yeah.
And special thanks to Jeffrey Palmer, who does the living card animations that are behind us and start and end each of our episodes. You can find him on Twitter at livingcardsmtg. I took your line.
I know. I'm glad. I every time I say it, I always have to go to youtube.com/podcast. Just throw it all in there.
Oh, yeah. Well, make sure. Also, if you are playing a Teamfight Tactics, Riot's new mod, first of all, if you're playing it, you should listen to our podcast about it. It's called Teamfight Tactical Report. You can find that on Twitter at tftactical. If you're not playing it, you're listening to a Magic the Gathering podcast right now. If you like Magic
and drafting or limited, creating a deck,
then Teamfight Tactics is going to be for you. I liked regular league a little bit, but I was never super, super into it.
Yeah.
This is like our new obsession. Like, we're playing crap out of it. Yeah.
It's amazing. You know how like you build a commander deck? You're like, I want this commander because he's this so cool. And then there, I'm going to put this and this creature. You kind of do that every single time you play TFT, but you build a different one. It's like, this time I'm going to be like icy and glacial. This time I'm going to go noble and do this.
Cool. I'm in the shower and I'm like, I wonder what it would be like if I put this together. And then I'm like, force it. So yeah. Definitely download the league client and check out Teamfight Tactics.
Yep.
And then listen to our podcast, Teamfight Tactical Report.
It's also on YouTube now, so you can check that out. And when the second episode is coming out, probably today.
All right, everybody. Thanks for watching.
We'll see you next time.
Peace.
Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter at JF Wong and at Josh Lee Kwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.